book of Ruth, Under His Wings, A Faith That Works, is the title of our devotion this evening, from Ruth chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. The life of faith in God is undergirded by a willingness to take action to do the will of God. Our faith is an active faith. We do the things that God wants us to do by actively obeying His commandments and living our life in accordance to what God would want us to do. And so James said in James 2 verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." James is speaking about the uselessness of an inoperative faith. Faith that produces no works is barren of saving power. You know, as we live each day in life, you may come across, you know, the people around us who may require some help. And, you know, if we just walk past pretending that we don't see, then, you know, we have a faith, but, you know, it is a faith that, you know, does not work. This is a simple example. And so here we see in our text, Ruth demonstrating an operative faith, right? A faith that works. And Ruth stated that she would act in full and unquestioned obedience to the directions of her mother-in-law on the proposal to marry Boaz. And indeed, it is not an easy thing to find a godly life partner, right? For anyone who wants to find someone, you know, that you know is a man of God, a woman of God that you know would serve God, and you know that, you know, in that relationship you would be taken care of because, you know, that person loves God and therefore will certainly love you. So for Ruth, the Moabitess widow in Israel, for her to, you know, as it were, turn around her life, was the probability is almost zero, you know, for her to be married again. But you see here Naomi, the mother-in-law, making preparations to help her, right, in this plan for her to be married. And it's interesting because, you know, we read from hindsight to know that this marriage will come Israel's future king, right? David would come out of the loins of the wedlock of Ruth and Boaz. And out of that line would come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so God was working out, you know, His plan. And God is bringing together a couple. Right? And both Ruth and Boaz, as we have seen and as we will encounter, are godly persons, and when they come together and they would serve God together, you see how, you know, the generations that come after them, right, God, well, there are traits of spirituality and godliness, right, that you know God is working out, right, through that marriage. And you see Ruth concurring with the counsel of Naomi by agreeing to marry whoever that comes, right? In the sense that, you know, what she's doing is that she's, by agreeing to that marriage, she is allowing herself, well, to raise up an heir to her deceased husband, right? And, you know, at this point in time, in that sense, she would not know who that man would be. You know, they know that there is another nearer kinsman which she has not met before, which, you know, if she agreed to that proposal, she could end up marrying, you know, don't know who, you see. So there is that question mark over the whole proposal. But she understood, right, that this is something of a spiritual responsibility that, you know, she holds, and therefore she concurred with the counsel, right, of Naomi to agree to this, you know, marriage proposition. But if you were to study, you know, earlier when we were looking at Ruth chapter 1, when Naomi counseled Ruth to remain in Moab, remember when we started the story, Naomi wanted to come back to Israel, and she told Ruth, you are from Moab, you can stay back, you don't need to come with me. But, you know, what did she do? Well, Ruth did not comply with the mother-in-law's counsel. Why? Because she was a God-fearer. She doesn't want to remain in a pagan environment and not to be with the people of God. So she understood where her roots are. Right? That's why she said this, you know, in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. She said to her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. This is a very brave statement to make, you know, because she would have to uproot herself fully, totally. Just as, you know, for us, when we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have seen, you know, families who have turned from idols to serve the living God, how, you know, they are willing to have all these idols removed from the home. And whereas they had many friends of pagan backgrounds before, now, you know, they find that they cannot associate themselves with their worship. And so, you know, life changed. Right? Good friends are no longer, in a sense, good friends. Right? And there is a change in our life, you know, when we become a child of God. The things that matter in the sight of God, we do. And so that was what she did. Right? She was willing to uproot herself. The steadfastness of her faith to obey God caused her to reject Naomi's counsel. She would rather obey God than men. But now that Naomi began to talk with God again, or walk with God again, you know, she had backslided, but now she has recovered from her backsliding, and she saw, you know, that Naomi was doing the will of God. What did she do? She complied with Naomi's advice. And so we were discussing about the counsel last week, the concurrence. Why is it? How do we evaluate, make decisions? Well, it is according to the will of God. Right? God would show us from His Word, and we are to search it, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to show us what is it that we ought to do. And so Ruth, obedience is not mere lip service. She was willing to follow through her actions by complying with the mother-in-law's instruction concerning this proposed marriage to Ruth. And so last week we ended with the statement in verse 5 of chapter 3, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Right, so this is the continuing story. Just one thought. Compliance. This is a faith that works, right? Resulting in a faith that is operative, right? It is active. So we see Ruth going down to the threshing floor and how she did all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. And that's what you know, verse 6 tells us, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her. The word bid there is the word command, alright? And she had an active faith, you see, that is characterized by obedience. Indeed, if you were to look at the life of the people of God, right, success comes with obedience, compliance with the will of God. Full success comes with full compliance. Her marriage would fulfill, right, God's plan of redemption as the progenitor of Messiah, a descendant of David. Right, at the end of, we know, now we take a look at the end of the book, right, in chapter 4, verse 17. It says, and the woman gave this child that came through the wedlock or the marriage between between Ruth and Boaz, right? This son that was born was named Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, and which is the grandfather of David. So you see how Ruth was someone who was very sensitive to the will of God. You know, God is going to work out something through her life, and you know, the redemption plan of all mankind, right, rests upon her obedience. And this was what she did. And if you look at biblical history, you see that men of God, right, they are compliant to the will of God. If you look at the example of Noah, when God called Noah to build the ark, Noah was compliant to all of God's instruction. The Bible recorded the obedient faith of Noah. Right? Genesis 6:22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. So you see that the child of God, you know, we are under the protection, not only the protection, but the guidance of God. And God guides us as to where we are to go. And our duty is mainly to follow. Follow for what? Well, follow in the path of blessing. Right? Follow in the path of God's protection, protective care. And therefore, you see, you know, it is a blessed journey, and Ruth is going to experience this step by step as she lives this life of obedience. Before Joshua led Israel to enter the promised land, he was instructed to be fully compliant to God's instruction for good success in the conquest and settlement in the land. And this was what he did. Before that, God gave him these instructions of wisdom. Right? What did God said to him before they started to enter the promised land to fight the battle, you know, with the giants in the promised land? God said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God's instruction to Joshua was this. And, you know, Joshua did all that God commanded him. At the end of his life, in, you know, the end of 25 years of Joshua's life, in the book of Joshua, you see in Joshua 24, verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. You know, he was called the servant of Moses all this time, right? But now God gave him the title servant of God, because he did truly serve God. The same for the Apostle Paul. He called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, he called himself a bond slave, someone who has committed himself wholeheartedly with undivided loyalty to serve his master. And he discharged it with distinction till the end of his life. And so, what am I saying here? Well, what I'm saying here is that, you know, when we follow God, walk with him according to his will, there is blessing. And this was the life of the Apostle Paul. This was the life of Joshua. This was the life of Noah. This is the life of Ruth. When the people of God are willing to surrender themselves to God, right? And that's what she did, in full surrender to her mother-in-law's advice to carry on Limelech's line and to redeem the inheritance due to the family by taking the step towards the proposed marriage to Boaz. And so how is she going to do that? Step by step, the instruction is given to her. Right? God sent counsel through Naomi. Remember, we were saying it earlier in chapter 3, verse 3. Naomi gave the instruction to Ruth, "Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor." Right? So she's supposed to prepare herself. I make sure that, you know, she's well adorned, and then she is to make her way, right, to the threshing floor. And she's not to make herself known to Boaz until he has done eating and drinking. So Ruth did according to Naomi's instruction. When Boaz has eaten and is happy and contented, this was the time to act. Right? The timing was important. And Ruth, Naomi, you know, she was staying at home all day during the months of harvest, right, hatching this plan. Right? She must be thinking and thinking what to do, and she must be observing what Boaz is doing daily. She knew that, you know, that night Boaz would be there, right, to protect the grain. He would be sleeping, you know, on the threshing floor, and, you know, she could imagine the scenario, and so she passed the instruction. And for Ruth, you know, she had to carry out the instruction. And you see how she obeyed and did all these things. So you see how the timing was important, because, you know, Boaz, after, you know, a man, a hungry man is an angry man. You hear the expression, no? Right? So he wait until he has done, you know, he has eaten, he's happy, then make the approach. When Joshua led Israel to take the first city, Jericho, God had a strategy that required every Israelite to comply and act at precise instruction. They were to keep quiet for 7 days. But at the end of the 7 days, they are to shout. And they did exactly what God told them. Right? And what happened? The Bible tells us, and it came to pass, the people shouted, Joshua 6:20, when the priest blew with the trumpets, the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This was the easiest battle to fight, you know, the easiest war to win ever in human history. You know, basically, they didn't have to do anything. God provided the strategy, and, you know, the enemy was defeated without them lifting a finger. Well, God had that plan, you know, for Boaz and Ruth to be married, and God sent Naomi to give these instructions. And so the mother-in-law had complete confidence when she asked the daughter-in-law to go and see this man, that this man would be a man of integrity, because she would be going there in the night, the middle of the night. Right? If this man is not a man of integrity, then you know the mother-in-law would fear for the well-being of this girl. Right? But you know, the mother-in-law had confidence that this man Boaz, right, is a gentleman. He would act responsibly. And you see how, you know, two godly men, two godly persons coming together in marriage. And also, you know, going there in the middle of the night would allow Boaz to reject the proposal without, you know, anybody knowing. Right? If Boaz said no, then, you know, they can walk away from it easily. Right? Verse 8, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid because she saw the lady lying down beside her. And behold, the woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." So Boaz suddenly was awakened in the middle of the night, and she discovered a woman lying at his feet. And you know, Boaz asked, who are you? And she responded, "I am your servant Ruth." And this is very interesting. You know, she said, "I am thy handmaid. Spread thy skirt," verse 9, "over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." The act of spreading the skirt is a custom, right? During those times, as an act of proposal for marriage or an engagement, right? And it's very interesting because, you know, the word skirt there is the same word that Boaz used to describe how God would take care of her. It's the same word for the word wings, you know, that you see in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Remember, Ruth, Boaz pronounced blessing upon Ruth. It says, "The Lord shall recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Well, this wing, right, is the word for the skirt. Right? So God is using Boaz, or using Ruth, to come to Boaz to call attention to this man to take that responsibility, to follow through with the blessing that he had pronounced upon Ruth by becoming his kinsman redeemer, by providing her the security of a marriage relationship. And Ruth immediately made that very clear. Right? That was the time. Right? That was the time. The mother-in-law had planned all the various steps. You know, in life, you find that as we walk with God, God leads us. Just like, you know, you remember the story when God asked the steward of Abraham to go and find a wife for Isaac, the son. And he went back, you know, this man, Eliezer, he went back to the family home. And he was praying, and he says, "I being in the way of the Lord led me." The first lady that she met was Rebecca. The lady that, you know, would become the wife of Isaac. And how that lady would, you know, do all those things to show so much hospitality to Eliezer by, you know, saying that, "Hey, come and rest. I will take the water from the well for you, not only for yourself, but for all your camels." You know, and so, you know, Abraham had a large household. and the wife of Isaac would become the lady of the home. And she had much responsibility to care for the entire household. And, you know, there are certain characteristic traits that, you know, the woman ought to have, you know, to fulfill that function. And, you know, when she prayed, God, when Eliezer prayed, God led her. He said, I was in the way of the Lord led me. The same, when we are in the center of God's will, you'll find that God would lead you by people, by circumstances, you know, so that, you know, all things just fall in place in your life. And that is what Ruth was doing. Right? And so she sought legal status, right, with Boaz, that he may become the kinsman redeemer. And, you know, you see how Ruth here, Boaz here, would behave himself very well, very honorably in the sight of, we shall study this next week. Okay, how he, you know, would said to Ruth that he would do this. But there is a closer relative, and he would have to follow through with all these actions. We shall see more of this next week.